Could you turn to Genesis 40 if you have a Bible? Okay, this is the story of the cupbearer and the baker. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were in custody with him in his master's house, Why are your faces so sad today? We both had dreams, they answered, but there is no one to interpret them. Then Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, in my dream I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand. This is what it means, Joseph said to him. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. For I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, I too had a dream. On my head were 3 baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. This is what it means, Joseph said. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat away your flesh. Now the 3rd day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. So today I want to look at how Joseph helps us understand God's purpose for our lives and the lives of those around us who don't yet know him. I want to examine the principles of this story for working in partnership with God that are repeated consistently throughout the Old and New Testaments. And the good news is that although I will talk a little bit about dream interpretation, it's actually about you using whatever God has placed in your life in the same way. And what I see in the story of Joseph, and we'll go back to chapter 37 and I'll look a little bit at chapter 41, is actually that there's 2 definitions of a dream working in his life. So there's the whole area of dreams and dream interpretation that are the definition, a series of images, ideas, emotions, and sensations occurring involuntarily in the mind during certain stages of sleep. Dreams can be from God, a negative spiritual source, or from your own person or physical state. So that's one aspect of dreaming. And if you look at the Bible and study it, you will see that about 1/3 of Scripture actually is influenced by dreams, visions, and their effects. So it's a really significant part of the Bible that we need to get to grips with. Then the 2nd definition of a dream that I want to look at in Joseph's life was actually connected in with God's purpose for him. So a cherished hope, ambition, aspiration, a condition or achievement that is longed for. So dreaming with God in that way is about finding out what he made you for, because God has a plan for you and he will reveal this to you if you ask him. And sometimes we may have other dreams that we need to surrender to be living fully in the center of his plan for our lives. But actually God wants you to have the best life, and he wants it to be exciting and fun for us. And that although this may mean giving up some things that you actually quite like, what you get back is just so much better. And, you know, the Bible talks about it being beyond our wildest hopes and dreams. So Bill Johnson puts it like this. He talks about he gave up his favorite pebbles, but he got back diamonds instead. And so that is what our God is like. That is how good he is to us. So in Genesis 37, Joseph had those two initial dreams about leadership and authority. And that was God revealing to him his plan and his purpose for his life. And then when he got taken away into slavery and then put in prison and then forgotten about, that didn't actually change his destiny. That didn't actually change what God had said to him. And actually probably hanging on to that kept him going through the hard times. So if today you feel like you're in an area of your life where you're in prison or you're kind of feeling limitation or you feel like you've been forgotten about, I feel like there's an opportunity today for God to change some of that for you. And just as we were praying upstairs, I just had a sense that he was sending angels to just break things off our lives that were limitations or the idea or the feeling of being in prison or being kind of trapped or oppressed. So I just wanted you to be aware that I think that God is here today doing that, removing things from our lives that would actually hinder our dreams or make us feel like they've been crushed and forgotten about. And there are lots of different ways that you can actually discover what your plan and your purpose is. It doesn't have to come in a dream, although that's been the experience of my life, that a lot of the time my dreams are about what God is saying, this is what's next for you, this is what's next for you. But there are lots of ways to discover, and one of the things that we have here that I think is really, really helpful is the shape profile. Okay, we all have a shape that is uniquely ours. We are all meant to be different parts of a jigsaw puzzle. And if we're not filling that part, there's a hole. You could see the hole that would be left in this story if Joseph was taken out of it, if he didn't pursue the idea of interpreting these dreams for these two people. Because actually what happens in Genesis 41 is the famine hits. So if he wasn't there, what would have happened to the nation of Egypt and the surrounding countries? They would have been decimated, you know. The impact would have been hugely awful. So we need to try and find out what part it is that we're supposed to play, because we each have one. Nobody's allowed to say, I'm not worthy or I'm not significant, because those are actually lies. We actually do have something that God put in us. So sometimes you just see a pattern in your life, like there was a pattern in Joseph's life. So wherever he ended up and went, you know, God was speaking to him and using him in positions of leadership and authority. It didn't matter if he was in slavery or in prison. He usually ended up being given a position of leadership and authority, and God was training him in those times for the role of being in charge of the whole nation of Egypt. So sometimes there are just things that just keep coming out of you, and sometimes they can be a bit skewed. I was in primary four when my teacher started using Minecraft ideas to teach the whole class. I had made something in a lunchtime, and she thought this was so fabulous that she would use that to teach the whole class the next week. And in secondary school, I realized that I was better at explaining things to people than a lot of the teachers, and spent quite a lot of time helping others in the classes. And I actually realized that I couldn't help it and that I loved doing it. The skew for me was that a lot of people ended up feeling like I thought I was better than them, because there was a part of me that was kind of like, I do know better. But I think, I'm hoping that God has taken that out, and that what I'm here today to say is that actually it doesn't matter if you're doing dream interpretation or if you're using one of the five love languages. Whatever you're doing is the thing that, if you're doing the thing that God made you to do and be, then you're releasing what he's asked you to release, and it's all significant. There's nobody who can say that they're better than another. So maybe you're somebody who likes the love language of touch, and that actually, you know, you maybe are the person who likes to do massages on outreach, or you like to give people hugs, or it's maybe more of a kinesthetic thing and you like doing drama or football or dance or whatever it is. Maybe you're somebody who has a real heart for just listening to people, and you give them quality time. And that actually is a really significant love language for some people. You know, maybe you like buying presents for people. I know some people in this room who are really good at gifts as acts of kindness, acts of love from God. Maybe you're somebody who, what's the other one? There's five. Encouraging words, yes. So maybe that's the thing that God has given you, that you just like to really build people up. And, you know, there's something in you that you have to release. So I left teaching. I did that for a season, and then God said to leave. And yeah, that has a kind of spiritual application now, that my job is actually communicating and teaching people about Jesus. So whatever you feel like you've been gifted to do, I want you to kind of see that there isn't actually necessarily an area of your life that's spiritual and an area of your life that's not spiritual. I actually think that whatever you do, whatever God's putting you to do, it has maybe both practical and supernatural application. So that was the case with Joseph, that the strategy that he got came from the same place that the dream interpretation did, and that both actually ended up being hugely significant in turning a nation around. What I think God has asked me to do as part of my job is to take back the ancient things of God, some of the things that maybe in Western Christianity we've just kind of edited out. And so dream interpretation is one of the things that I feel really strongly about. You know, God hasn't changed. He still gives dreams in the same way that he does. And in the book of Joseph, he still is a God who uses meditation. So meditation is another thing that I feel quite strongly about, that actually having quiet space to reflect and contemplate. We see that in the life of Isaac, actually, you know, Joseph's grandfather. And then in the life of Abraham, the way that he worked was also, he called on God by setting up a rock or going to a particular tree. So there's the world of nature, and that can be a very significant place for people to connect with God. So my heart is really just to help people connect with God in ways that are not actually new, but that maybe have been put to one side or forgotten about. And I want to talk about the reason why I do what I do is actually because it affects quite a significant part of the population. So if we could go to the pie chart, is that okay? Joseph was in a context where not many people, maybe he was the only one who actually knew the God that he was talking about. In the scripture, the Hebrew word is Elohim, which is a plural sense of majesty. It means great one, mighty one. The two first Hebrew pictograms are the ox head, which is a sign of strength and power, and then the shepherd's staff, which is a sense of kind of authority and guiding. And he was the only one in his context, because Egypt was, as we probably know, a context where they had a lot of different spiritual forces that they believed in and called on. And we find that today in society, that actually there's a really large demographic who actually are kind of in a similar place now. They have that blue part up there, the blue section is 40% of the population would say that they actually believe in a kind of universal life force or a spiritual world, but not necessarily a personal God. That would maybe be the red section down there. It's 25%. And then agnostic and atheist are 18% and 17%. So this is research that was done in 2005. And I kind of see that what we do, those of us that are working in doing outreach, we do actually hit a really significant part of the population who are really hungry for spiritual things, but haven't yet made it to the point where they've met the God who speaks personally, the God who's about relationship, the God who knows you intimately and has a plan for your life. You know, in Joel 2, it says that he will pour out his spirit on all flesh, and that dreams will be a really significant part of that. So it's really important that we get to grips with this as a means, because if we don't go and interpret dreams for people, who will go there? What happens if we are leaving a gap in the piece of the puzzle that isn't there? And actually, what I see in the work that I do is that actually people end up going down quite dark paths to try and find answers. So I think it's really significant, and I just love that as a church that we have invested in reaching these 40%. And actually, sometimes we get, you know, people who are agnostics and atheists coming through as well. So, you know, God gives dreams to everybody, and things like light and life and breakthrough and source are really far more significant than we realize. And actually, also, it's people coming to us. You know, we don't have to go out and really work hard to find people. They actually come to us and ask for God to speak and move. So it's really a very significant demographic that we're reaching this way. And this is what I see in the story of Joseph. You know, God made himself famous through the gift that he'd given him. And I believe that he wants to do the same through you. I just want to tell you a little bit of a story. I often go to fairs, and you know, we put up a sign, and you know, we say that we do prophetic words and art and dream interpretation and healing and that kind of thing. So I just want to tell you the story of a girl called Natalie. That's not her real name, but she came to a fair and she'd been plagued with nightmares, and she's also someone who'd been seeing the demonic in her life from an early age. So she already had a gift that she knew about. And this is what we find, is that people are discovering that they have gifts, but the church are quite often rejecting them and actually not understanding how to help them grow in the right way. So we were able to interpret her dream, and we discovered in talking with her that she'd had a friend who'd told her about Jesus when she was a teenager. And I think she'd been invited to church and gone a little while. But as we prayed to break off the nightmares and their effects, she just started weeping, and we saw that God was moving. And we just explained to her, you know, this God who interprets dreams, this Jesus actually wants to be part of your life, and this is what it would mean. And so she did. She invited Jesus into her life. And I believe that she ended up going to Destiny Church, although I haven't had much contact with her since then. And this type of encounter is not uncommon. It's not uncommon for people to receive healing, to receive freedom from their nightmares, to receive salvation. We see this a lot. It's a really white harvest field. And the thing is, I don't actually think you have to feel all that prophetic to do this kind of thing, because you have inside you the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You have inside you the spirit that created the whole universe. And so there's nothing impossible for him and you. The story of Joseph also kind of shows us a pattern of mission that is repeated throughout the Bible. And this is what I love to see. We see it, you know, not only in Joseph, we see it all throughout the Old and New Testament. We see it in the story of Jesus with the woman at the well. We see it in the Acts of the Apostles when they started reaching out to the Gentiles. I believe that when Joseph was in slavery in prison, that he learned to be a diplomat. He learned to avoid speaking rashly as he had to his brothers about the things of God. And he learned how to be a servant of God in a culture that was very, very different. And there's some really useful work done by a guy called Jim Travis, who's been working in Arabic culture but I just really feel like it applies to all different kinds of cultures that we're working in, and that within our society, there are lots of different tribes or groups that have a distinct culture of their own, and we can't just throw it all out, because actually, you know, God says from every tribe and tongue and nation, there will be people that come to serve him. So I believe that God has put in every culture something of his multifaceted personality. And if we could go to the slide that is the C1-4, that would be good. So C stands for a Christ-centered community or a church. And see if you can work out which process is most honoring to the people and which process is actually most successful missionally. So C1, the person coming to be part of your group has to make a total cultural change. They have to change their dress, they have to learn your language, and that's predominantly English in a lot of ways. They have to use your style of worship. They have to change everything about themselves. And then C2 would be similar, but there would be translation, so they would use the local language. In C3, the community uses the local language, music, dress, and artwork where they're religiously neutral. So that would be another step kind of on. And then C4, you would add to the above the use of spiritual practices where Jesus is now the focus, and that the community does not meet in a church building. So what we actually find is that the further down this scale you go, the more successful mission is, because you're not putting barriers in the way of people. And actually, I think Joseph would be more like C5, where you go and you're completely immersed in the culture, but that you're worshipping Jesus in that. So for a Muslim, that would be saying that they were like a messianic Muslim. So they would replace all the things that they had previously done for Muhammad with Jesus. So Joseph was completely immersed in his culture and worshipped and said and did the things of God in that culture. And then C6 is actually secret or underground believers. And from what we hear coming out of places like China, that's actually also phenomenally successful, although there's a high level of persecution that goes along with that. So what I'm feeling like my calling to release is actually something that is more cross-cultural, and that's why as Source we do certain things that I just kind of wanted to explain. And if we could go back to the slide, which is the course. I just spent a lot of time with God asking, you know, how did he want to reach cross-culturally to people who were spiritual seekers? And here is kind of how I've described what I believe is what God wants to do with this people group. So meditation is something that's really important in spiritual seeker culture. And that's actually something that we see throughout the Bible. As I've explained, we see it in the life of Isaac. We see it in the Psalms. It's talked about. Even Jesus went and had his time on his own every morning with God, where he was spending time with him. Looking at culture, people there are also really looking for wisdom and guidance from spiritual sources. So yeah, Jesus is the best source to get that from, because he's the highest source to get that from. Growing love, joy, and peace in your world. Fairly simple, but people really, really want that. Understanding of the spiritual realm and how to access it. In spiritual seeker culture, things like angels and kind of heavenly content, like, you know, what you have people doing are things like astral projection and all that kind of thing. It's important to talk about, actually, God has a paradigm and a pattern for how we interact with the spiritual realm, and actually to say, you know, this is how to do it safely, this is how to do it right. And then the last one, we've got vision and dream interpretation, because there are people out there who have got real gifts, but they just haven't been connected into the source of Jesus to use them to their fullest potential. So that's kind of a bit about how I kind of see the story of Joseph and the story of cross-cultural mission throughout the Bible, bringing people to a place where they actually receive truth that sets them free. I'm going to tell you another story. Some of you know my friend Evelyn, who she's really into Reiki. And while we were little, our girls used to go and we used to play together. And I remember one day we were in the Garscube playrooms, and Mira and her little girl were just playing really happily in a Wendy house. And because she's really hungry for spiritual things, quite often we ended up talking about spiritual things. And, you know, I just really felt like I was to share with her, like, you know, my experiences of angels. And she just was blown away by it. And I was able to explain a bit to her about, you know, how our church works. So she was like, well, how do you do this? And, you know, what is it for you that is different? Because she didn't know. And I was just able to explain, you know, well, what we do in church is actually about growing our gifting and making sure that we are connected in to relationship with Jesus. And that is something that she hadn't really understood, and she is getting to understand more now, is that relationship with Jesus is the heart of everything I do, and that she's still really keen to carry on the conversations. And we talk a lot about healing, we talk about the seer gift, and actually I'm learning a lot from her about how to talk to people in this kind of community. And she just loves coming to things like Light in Life and Breakthrough, and she wants to come to the next Source Taster event that we're doing. And the Taster event is designed to be a place where people can begin to worship, but not in the way that we would maybe recognize it here. So we use a lot of soaking music, and we just set up different areas where people can go and explore and respond to God in different ways. So we kind of have a creative area, and we have a meditation and soaking area, and people can just go and choose what it is that they want to do to respond to God. And we don't call it sermons, we call it workshops, because workshops is a really key part of spiritual seeker culture. They like going to workshops. So we have workshops, and we teach them about the ways of God. And it's just the best fun. I want to talk about the dreams aspect of the scripture. That these two dreamers actually had dreams. One which was a dream of preparation. So God was preparing one of the dreamers for what was to come next, and giving him time to understand that his, you know, his life was going to end. And so instead of having the uncertainty hanging over them and not knowing what was going to happen, the heart of God for that dreamer was to say, okay, you know, I'm going to prepare you for what's about to happen. And it doesn't say that Joseph led him into a place where he, you know, he called on God's name. But we don't know that. We don't know what he had an opportunity to do now that he knew that his life was coming to an end. The other dream was a dream that was there to bring hope. And it demonstrated to the dreamer that here was a God who knew these things. And so when Pharaoh had this dream that he couldn't interpret, Joseph was the one that he was called on. And we see that God still does that today. And if you're somebody who would like to have more of a dream life, there are some really practical steps that you could do. I mean, I believe that God can speak to anybody at any time in this way. But if this is something that you're really hungry for, then just ask God to bring more dreams into your life. And And one of the things that we say to do is to put a notebook and a pen beside your bed so that when you wake up, you will find it really easy to record what has happened, because recording your dreams is really important. And then God will start to help you interpret them. And if you've come today with a dream, at the end of the service, anybody who's done the interpretation courses with Streams is going to come to the front row here, and you can come and have your dream interpreted. And I didn't get around, and I thought I had kind of maybe talked to most people that I was saying, do you want to come and interpret dreams on Sunday? But I think I maybe didn't. So if you are somebody who wants to have a dream interpreted, come to the front and we'll see if you can help. But actually, God is the one who gives the interpretation. And, you know, Joseph, if he'd been using a dream dictionary, he wouldn't have been able to come up with the interpretations that he did. So you need to have the Holy Spirit encouraging you with your dreams. And we all have that. So you can start to interpret your dreams yourself and ask God what they mean. Once you have got something and, you know, you feel like God has said something to you, whether it's in a dream or whether it's in another way, it doesn't matter what you feel the revelation is, but write it down and ponder it prayerfully and chat to wise friends about it. So the dreamers, the cupbearer and the baker, they knew to ask for help with interpretation, and then that's when Joseph came to them and helped them understand. But, you know, we can do the same if we are having some sort of block with getting a full understanding. Then, you know, talk to someone else who's wise, talk to someone else who's maybe a bit more experienced than you, and ask them to help you with your interpretations as well. The other kind of dream, if this kind of dreaming isn't the sort of thing that fills you with excitement, there's still the other type of dream to be explored in terms of your destiny. And so maybe one of the things that you feel today is that there are dreams in your life that have been crushed. Maybe life experiences have come and tried to destroy what God has placed in you. And so today I believe that God wants to restore and revive and make restitution. Even if you feel like there's no hope anymore, there is hope. And so maybe one of the things that you want to do today is come for ministry and have God just breathe new life into your dreams again. And I believe that he wants to heal the pain of disappointment, that if there are things that have caused you to feel like Joseph and you're just waiting and waiting, and I wonder how gutted he was when the cupbearer went back to Pharaoh and then forgot about him, and he's still waiting and waiting. The Bible says that hope deferred can make the heart sick, and actually God wants to be able to change that. And so if you're feeling like you're in a place where you're waiting and you're frustrated, I would encourage you again to come for prayer and ask God to move in that whole area. When John Scott came and spoke here last year, he said this. He said, most people sin because they don't have a vision for your life. And, you know, what you have to do with even this congregation here is actually, I believe, already affecting a nation. I believe that the things that God has given us are really starting to change and transform our nation. And you can see that through, most obviously, I think maybe through the things that are happening at Clan, and how our involvement in different ministries at Clan is actually blessing and healing and releasing a nation. But there's lots of other ways that that's happening. Wherever we go, whatever we're doing, if we're being the me that God made me to be, or if you're being the you that God made you to be, you're leaking heaven wherever you go and releasing a testimony that does the same thing, that brings communication from heaven, that brings healing, that brings freedom, that brings salvation. And, you know, you can't make a rainbow if you only have all red paint, or you can't make a rainbow jigsaw if you only have all red tiles. You need to have all the colors to do that. And you have you know, freedom and permission to be who God has made you to, and to shine, actually really shine. And I just wanted to read a poem because one of the things that I really like doing is bringing right brain activity as well as being able to analyze some things. So we've had some statistics, now we're going to have a poem, and I just want you to, you may maybe close your eyes and listen with your spirit. It's Gerard Manley Hopkins speaking, and he was a contemplative monk who actually wrote in the Victorian period. So I'm just going to read this to you, and just listen with your spirit and let it wash over you, because the feeling of it is actually in the rhythm rather than in the understanding. As kingfishers catch fire, dragonflies draw flame, as tumbled over rim in roundy wells, stones ring, like each tucked string tells, each hung bell's bow swung, finds tongue to fling out broad its name. Each mortal thing does one thing and the same, deals out that being indoors each one dwells, selves, goes itself, myself it speaks and spells, crying, what I do is me, for that I came. I say more, the just man justices, keeps grace that keeps all his goings graces. Acts in God's eye what in God's eye he is, Christ. For Christ plays in 10,000 places, lovely in limbs and lovely in eyes not his, to the Father through the features of men's faces. Find your niche. Find your sweet spot. You may want to go for some inner healing or some sozo to clear away the things that are getting in the way of your destiny. There may be changes that God is asking you to make to your patterns to do that. I believe that there are lies that maybe God wants to break today about the fact that, oh, I can't do this and I'm not like this. And, you know, it's not true. You can. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And God will bring people, if you ask him, to partner with your dream. The world needs you to be you. You know, Joseph's brothers tried to squash out of him the you, the spiritual being that God had created him to be. But God had another plan, and he didn't let go. Joseph didn't let go. Even after everything that happened to him, he still said, yes, God, I will bring your word. I will bring your interpretation to these dreams. I will use the gifts that you've given me, even in the darkest places. And this kind of melding of supernatural and practical saved all those lives in the next chapter. And we don't always see the lives that we save. We don't always see the impact that we have. But God comes and he brings so much transformation wherever we are, because we walk into a room and we transform it just by being there.